Thank you so much for visiting us online today. We believe God wants to speak to you through the following message. If you would like to connect with us or send us your prayer request, visit us at kingsgatehobbs.com.
Let's go to the book of John, chapter 1. Y'all are fun, man, but y'all are going to get me in trouble. John chapter 1, verse 9. John chapter 1, verse 9. Brief review. We began the book of John last week. And we notice that it parallels that John chapter 1 begins with the three words in the beginning, just like Genesis does. So he's drawing us to the fact that from the beginning of time and before time, Jesus has been God always, even before he manifests himself in the person of Jesus. Okay? So we begin by, in the beginning, the word already existed. That was verse 1. And we're all the way down to verse 9 now. And so he's painting a picture of how Jesus is God and was part of God, and always will be God, okay? So, here we are, verse 9, Jesus is God in the flesh. Remember that. Verse 9, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. We talked about light last Wednesday night. Light's important. It gives warmth. You can see. It has great purpose. Without light, there is no color. Without light, you can't see beauty. Without light, you can't tell the difference between light and darkness. Without light, you can get into some serious, serious problems. You ever been driving? You've seen someone driving at night? You were fine, but you see them driving without their headlights on, and it freaks you out, doesn't it? You're like flashing your lights down. Turn your lights on, please. It always freaks me out. But most of us now, this is good or bad, your car, as soon as you start it, the lights are on now, right? So you don't ever forget to turn your lights on. So that's great, but always be aware because light is so important. Right here, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Let's go to the next verse. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. Now, I'm not making a joke of this by any means, but I don't know if there's any of you in here who have ever had a parent or a grandparent maybe who was older and then they didn't recognize you. And I'm told that that is very, very, very difficult. Somebody you love, they just don't recognize you anymore. Now, we know that's tough, but can you imagine the creator of the universe steps into his creation and they didn't recognize him? And we've read the rest of the book, so we know that his creation eventually crucified him. And it was God's plan. Scripture says it was God's plan for him to suffer and die, you know, so he could save us. But he came into this world he created, and the world didn't recognize him. I believe it was, what's the gentleman who wrote, Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. He talks about birds every day fulfill their purpose. You see them, they're chirping, they're doing what they're supposed to do, right? Animals, they fulfill their purpose, even if they're naughty. I'm telling you, if you got dogs or cats, man, sometimes you want to spank them and throw them out. It's just too much. And some of you are that way with your kids, right? I remember I had an uncle who used to tell one of my cousins, he was really, really mischievous. He said, I'm going to spank you and throw you out. And I was always waiting to see if he'd spank him and throw him out. But you look throughout creation and you notice that even the birds and the caterpillars and the worms and the cows, they're all doing what they're called to do in obedience to the Creator. But the toughest of all of creation, I believe Oscar Gonzalez, when he was here during the Easter conference, he mentioned it. He said the only thing in creation that doesn't really obey God is humans. We weren't created by his word, we were created by his breath. And we have a will to serve him or not. And it's amazing to me that you'll see little critters, squirrels, as annoying as they are, man. And one of our dogs just sees squirrels. And I don't think she had ever seen squirrels before. Those of you who don't know, we got a second dog because one wasn't enough. So double trouble. We got a second one. It's amazing how well-behaved the first one seems now. I'm all, dang, I would complain about you. But she sees squirrels and she just freaks out. It's almost like she's inconsolable. It's almost like she sees through you. Well, in her breeding, most likely, is a hunting dog or a bird dog, probably. She even lifts one paw when she's searching for him. Almost, have you seen those dogs that kind of point? I don't know if that's in her lineage, but she goes crazy over these squirrels. It's like she's fulfilling her purpose, even though it's a little annoying. And the squirrels, they're just doing their thing, right? Squirrels do what squirrels do. But it's humans. It's humans that are the toughest. Man, and I believe if Jesus walked into creation right now, you'd have people who recognized him and people who didn't care, but I believe all the animals would bow. I do. I just believe that animals know their creator. And he created us higher than the animals, praise God, but he gave us a will, and he came into this world that he created. It says, into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. I cannot imagine how that felt. Look at verse 11. He didn't just come into the world. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. See, let's hesitate there for a moment, because Scripture says salvation is of the Jews. Say, man, are the Jews better than us? No, they're just different. And they were the first people group that God chose. God said, I'm going to reveal myself to the world through this insignificant, stubborn, crazy. Scripture says they're stiff-necked. Anybody in here familiar with horses or mules or donkeys or anything? They tighten up and won't do anything. Well, Scripture says the Jews were that way, and many times we are. But he came to his own people, and even they rejected him. They had the Scriptures. They had all these promises. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. But what did they say when you read through the Gospels? They say, look, no good thing comes from Nazareth. They didn't even realize he was born in Bethlehem, most of them. They said, search the Scriptures. No prophet comes from Nazareth. Well, they didn't know his whole story. Just like the Scriptures proclaimed, he was born in Bethlehem. And all these things he came and fulfilled. All of them. And they were so caught up in their religion and the word he had given them, but using the word to enslave people and to make a profit and all the things they were doing, they missed that the Son of God came to visit them. And many realized it later. For example, one of his brothers later, James, he became the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. We know that Jesus, once he died, he appeared to his brother James. Can you imagine? Shows up, and you saw him die, knew he died, maybe went to the burial, whatever, and you go, and he says, I told you, I'm your brother, but I'm also God in the flesh. I told you, I am who I said that I am, and here I am. And James accepted him and became a great man of God. Okay, he was a pastor in Jerusalem. But there were those that rejected him, and later they accepted him, and some just rejected him forever. Even now, among the Jewish people, did you know you can become ostracized from a Jewish family by claiming the name of Jesus as your Savior? Ostracized means getting disowned, kicked out, and isolated from your family as Jewish people. Even Jewish rabbis, I don't know how many, but there are many that will not even read Isaiah 53 because they know in their heart of hearts it only describes one person. They know historically, because now they'll tell you he was born in Bethlehem. Now they'll tell you, yeah, he was a prophet or something, but he claimed he was God. Now they'll tell you all these things. They know he was crucified. They may not believe he rose from the dead. They don't know. But now the Jewish people know. That's part of their history. But many Jewish rabbis, Jewish teachers will not teach or read Isaiah 53 because it describes Jesus too perfectly. This is 2,000 years later. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. Just a side note, don't give up on the Jews, though, because God never forgets his promises. He never forgets his people. He's never given up on you or me when we were in our sin and our mess. And look, he's going to get his people back one day. Scripture says that they will be saved in a day. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means a certain amount of time or in one day there will be great revival and most of the Jews will get saved. I don't know, but he's going to reveal himself to them again and they will recognize him. But at this point, he came to his own people, man, and even they rejected him. Verse 12, look at this. Someone say, but to all. Yeah, this is good news, though. See, some rejected him, some didn't recognize him, but to all who believed him and accepted him, oh, man, is that you? Is that me? He gave the right to become children of God. Wow, the creator of the universe says, Yeah, you messed up. Every sin you've ever committed has been against me. He takes all sin personally because it's all an affront to his holiness. He didn't create us for sin, but we're born with a fallen nature. But now, because of his grace and what he did on the cross, man, all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. He says, you are part of my family forever. Forever. Can you imagine the God of the universe who's perfect, way beyond just regular righteous, he is the perfect example of righteousness, came to die for sinners while we were yet sinners. How many of you have kids in here? Raise your hand. Most of the folks in here have kids. Would you have sacrificed your child for a sinner? Heavens no. Would you have sacrificed your child for even a righteous man? Scripture talks about that. You'd be like, no, that's a good man, but I'm not giving up my baby girl for them or my little boy, my son, my daughter. No, but God in his righteousness and his wisdom, he said, it's the only way. It is the only way to buy them back and call them back to me. So to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right. Jesus has given you the right to become children of God. What's so good about being a child of God? Anybody? That's not a trick question. That's a great answer. You are no longer on your way to hell. You're going to heaven. What else? You are accepted. Because you accepted him, he accepts you. Scripture says in Ephesians 1, you are now accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in his most treasured and as his most treasured. Acceptance. What else? Forgiven. You're forgiven, redeemed from the curse of the law, which is what? Sickness, poverty, and death. Very good. Y'all are excellent students. A child of God now. You're in his family. You're part of his bloodline. Sis over here, she says, man, I went to the doctor. I'm clean and free. Uh-huh, because she's a child of God. We will walk. If we'll walk in healing, man, you are part of his bloodline, his lineage. It's cancer-free in Jesus' name. You say, man, do believers never get cancer? No, they do. We don't understand it all, but we know his promises and we know his best and his will is healing. When you are a child of God, then you now have the ability to take part in God's perfect will. What else? Anybody else have anything to add to that? What's the big deal about becoming a child of God? Forgiven. Mm-hmm. Loved, forgiven, accepted, redeemed, healed. You belong. We read that in my Bible study last night, Proverbs 3. Favor with God and man. That is powerful. Once you obey him and seek him and put him first, God gives you favor with himself and with mankind. Having favor. That is awesome. All right. Let's go on to the next verse. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan. That is well phrased. But a birth that comes from God. Remember Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3? A birth that comes from God. You are born again. Let's keep going. So the Word, wow, became human. Other translations say the Word became flesh. God's Word actually became human. He came in a human form. Jesus always existed. He was God's Word. He was there at the beginning. He said, let there be light. That was Jesus. Part of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit when they were engaging in creation together. Remember, they said, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. Let us. Some say, I think that's just the royal we because he's royal. Because this is even messed with Hebrew scholars. Well, he's one in three and three in one. We know that. We believe that. But so are you. Did you know that? You don't usually say we or us that way exactly. But you are a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. You are three in one and one in three. Say, man, for years other religions have called out Christianity and said they are polytheistic. They worship more than one God. Oh, no, he is one. He's one, but he manifests himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Word became human. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. This is John talking, remember? At one point, he was the closest person to Jesus on earth. He would lay there and lean his head against Jesus' chest. He said, man, he became human. He became flesh, and he made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Some of you, you may have a Bible out there. The translation says grace and truth. Grace and truth. And this is a pretty good translation, but I love grace and truth. He was full of grace and truth. And we have seen his glory. The glory of the what? The Father's one and only Son. So before us, there was only Jesus, huh? There was the only Son of God ever to come through God that came through a human woman. A miracle. The Spirit of God came upon her, and she conceived a child. Let's read that verse again. Verse 14, the whole thing. So the Word became human or flesh and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness or grace and truth. And we have seen his glory. The glory of the what? The Father's one and only Son. Let's keep going. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds. Now, we're not talking about John the Beloved, the one who wrote this book. We're talking about John the Baptist. Remember John the Baptist? That wasn't his denomination, right? He baptized people. Baptist is one who baptizes. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, this is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far what? Far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I want to deal with that verse again, but next week. I want to go ahead and close on that note right there, John 1:15. We'll pick that up next Wednesday night, John 1:15. Let me read the verse one more time, though, in closing. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, this is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than me or than I am, for he existed long before me. Like, man, they're about the same age. In fact, I mean, John the Baptist was a little bit older, if you study Scripture, right? He was further along. So Scripture explains Scripture. But he says, no, he's greater than I am, for he existed long before me, because he was talking about God in the flesh. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, if you would please. John 1:15. If there's anyone at the sound of my voice tonight who says, Pastor Matt, I need to accept Jesus. I have never made him the Lord of my life. If that is you, please raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you. I believe everyone in here has accepted Jesus, but for the benefit of those tuning in on the live stream tonight, just in case there's someone who's not sure where they'll go when they die. If you're listening to this, you know who you are, and we're going to pray with you right now or watching this. Let's agree in prayer. Just repeat this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. Apart from you, I cannot save myself. Save me, Lord. I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Not the world, not my will, not Satan. Jesus is my Lord. And say, I believe he died and rose again for me. And to wash away my sin. Save me, Lord. Only you can do it. I believe. Come to live in my heart. Change me. I need you. And I believe in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for tonight and everyone gathered here in person and on the live stream. You have a beautiful and perfect plan for everyone here. Let your plan come to fruition. Let your plan totally come into being in our lives. We give in to you now. We don't want to fight it. We know your will is best, even though we sometimes disobey. Your will is best. Your way is best. Your wisdom is best. You are God. You are our Father. And we give up and we give in to you right now. And we praise you. And we thank you, Lord, because you're faithful. We can't do it without you. Thank you for tonight. Let your word settle in our hearts and let it continue to transform us day by day. So we can tell people and show people what is new with us as we walk with you, Lord. And we thank you tonight. Give you praise in Jesus' name.